Hello and welcome. I'm Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I'm so excited that you've decided to join us for the Man Panel. This is always an incredibly important and very popular event, and I love featuring the male experts and really tapping into their inner wisdom. And I have with me today a wonderful returning guest, and that is the lovely Barry Selby. Welcome, Barry.
Hi, thanks for having me back again. It's so much fun to start this conversation again.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's okay to call a man lovely, right? Is that something that works for you from your culture?
I have no problem with that.
Okay, you're man enough to take it, right?
Yes.
All right. So Barry Selby helps women to go from heartbreak and grief to wholehearted grace. So I love that. That's really beautiful, Barry. And you wanted to start by just jumping in and telling us a little bit about what that means, a little more about that, round that out for us.
Well, okay. We've got some time, I think. Yeah.
the short version.
Yes, of course. Yes, I meant. Truth be told, I mean, most of my clients I work with are carrying that level of wounding inside. And in the dating conversation, most people are like looking for the next one, the next one, the next one. Whereas for most of us, and I mean, I'm talking about women, but men do this too, but women are much more, thankfully, willing to listen, is that for many women, they're carrying this wound inside that they want to cover up and just move on. And so my work is to help them really face that wound and heal it so they can then have a much healthier prospect going forward in relationships. So it's about that deeper work that is so healing, even though it can be very painful at the time, so they can be free to what they want to have in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is so key. It's so important because even if we're so quote unquote doing all the good things or the right things on the outside, if we don't have some of that stuff sorted inside, it can really get in the way and can really foul us up and or cause us to meet and attract the wrong people, right?
Pretty much guaranteed, in fact. Yes, it's like the truth is, well, that's the thing is that we think we know what we're doing, but it's like, hang on a second, who's got the steering wheel? Our external or internal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's great. And I know we're going to be talking about, are you still waiting for your white knight, or are you too strong for him? So this is a really intriguing topic, and I'm curious to hear a little bit about why you chose this, and then we'll dance. This will be fun to talk about this.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I need to own up that I actually literally was in the context of the white knight. Just to quickly put a backstory in, this is back in the 80s. I was in a workshop where we did some affirmational work at the end, and somebody called me a white knight, mainly because I was sounding much more English, because I'd only been in the States about 2 years at that time, no, 4 years at that time. Excuse me. And when we went outside after the workshop, I just 3 months prior, bought a brand new white Toyota Supra. And the guy said, see, you are a white knight. And so my mind was like, oh, I better get a license plate that says that. So I basically branded myself the White Knight. And I spent the next couple of years in my dating life and in my work saving damsels in distress. Which sounds romantic, but it sucks. Because I felt myself being drained all the time trying to help these women who weren't willing to help themselves. And so that was one part of the puzzle. So that's why I talk about the White Knight experience, because I lived it painfully on my own part. And just as a capstone on that, when I realized what I was not getting what I wanted, I said, you know what? I need to get rid of that license plate. I need to get rid of the White Knight branding label. Within 2 weeks.
Advertising that service, right?
Right. Well, the thing is, 2 weeks later, the license plate got stolen with my car attached.
Oh.
So you've got to be very careful what you ask for, because the reality can sometimes be more than expected.
I guess so.
Oh yeah, it was painful, but now I can use it as a story, so I don't mind so much. I mean, that was a long time ago, and I got over that journey. And then the other piece you said about powerful women is, during that, not long after that, I became clear that I need to be much nicer to the women. I was going to find women who were stronger, because those other women I was saving were so, quote, weak by comparison. So I was then going to the opposite end of the spectrum, dating these powerhouse women who basically dominated my relationships with them. And I didn't have a room at that point to step up to their level, because I felt like I'd have to battle with them. So I gave it up every time. And that wasn't healthy for either one of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there was kind of a competitive kind of an energy with that.
Well, only if I was willing to try and fight them for it. Otherwise, I'd be so nice, I'd give it back to them, and they'd win every time, which wasn't. Again, it sounds nice, but it wasn't. It was very unpleasant, ultimately.
Uh-huh. So working to find that balance was a part of your journey.
A large part of it, yes. And also to recognize that to be a masculine man, because I had wired in my head about like to be a tough guy, went to be macho, which is so not my thing. To be masculine men meant to step a much stronger place, but in fact to make more room for a woman to be in her strength as a feminine woman. And that was something I didn't even have a clue back then. So I'm grateful I found that work about 15 years ago. It changed. It was so much of a revelation and also a almost like a welcome home going, oh, now I understand. Mm-hmm. And it was such a gift.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a lot of confusion out there between men and women and our roles and our dynamics in relationships and the energy. You know, there's a lot of talk about the masculine energy and feminine energy. And I know for some women, Barry, like even this word feminine or feminine energy, there can be some reactions to it all across the spectrum, because I feel like in some cases, the response is like, I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be needy. I don't want to feel like someone has to take care of me. And, you know, quite honestly, a lot of women have worked really, really hard for their success and independence, and they want to be proud of that. And yet sometimes, you know, let's just say some women can show up around a man in a way that can be, it doesn't allow that space, like you said, for a man to step into that more masculine role or that mm-hmm. energy. So I think on both the side of men and women, I think there's some confusion and challenge around this.
So let me see if I can put some clarity into this, because this is one of the things I had to work through myself. And I may use some analogies, because this is something I got from my own teachers. First of all, let me just speak to the masculine side for a second. This is what I've lived and been living for the last 15 years, really owning it. There's been a label recently that came out after the Me Too conversation about toxic masculinity. Mm. And I have a real problem with that statement, because masculinity is not toxic. The toxicity is the machoism that a lot of men still carry. And to define the difference between macho and masculine, simplest way of putting it is macho is head-driven, egotistical, my way, the highway, screw everybody else, which is toxic. Whereas masculinity is someone who's heart-centered, a man who basically has what one of my teachers says has a straight spine, because they have a direction and clarity and focus in their lives. They're going somewhere, do something. But it's something where they're serving something greater than themselves, which is a contribution, which is not toxic. So for me, masculinity for a man is a much greater place to play and be than just being a tough guy, which is what we were trained to be for many years. The feminine, and I said a little bit earlier about how there's an equality, there's a bringing women, inspiring women to be in the feminine is a much healthier place. When women own their femininity, and I mean this in the truest sense of the word for me, the feminine is it can be divinity and spirituality, but I'm speaking more about the groundedness of how life is. Nature is feminine. So basically the very ground we stand on is feminine. So feminine is not weak. And in fact, the feminine, one of the analogies that I talk about, the feminine is like a massive river running through the land that basically can knock down trees. It's so powerful. That's the feminine. The masculine energy, when it's in its true strength, is a container that allows the river to flow. Mm-hmm. She has the feminine has the power to demolish the banks when it gets, you know, when the rivers rise, they burst the banks. That's the feminine energy. It can overwhelm the masculine. However, once it does that, the containment's not there. So the feminine energy gets somewhat chaotic. And so a lot of ways the masculine and feminine work together that way. I'm not saying that women need a man. It's not that point. But the feminine and masculine work together in a way that is harmonious and complementary. And one is not better than the other, which is the thing that we have to recognize, because it really is about equality. And it's not about being the same. It's about honoring the differences. And so the sexual revolution of the 60s and 70s, where women, when the feminist movement and sexual revolution and women's liberation, depending where you were raised, what the label was largely because women up to that point had never had a chance to be equal. You know, up to that point, they would basically stay with their parents until they got married. They didn't have bank accounts or their own cars, their own places. But the sexual revolution changed that thing. Thankfully, it brought women into some ways the modern age, so to speak, where women had a chance to do that, had their own jobs and had their own vocation. But unfortunately, what that brought with it was like rediscovering where their natural residence was. And that was the challenge. Women were basically jumped into the world. And to be honest, most women copied the men, because it had been a man's world to that point, so to speak, like the Mad Men show. It had that sort of epitome of being like men running the show in the suits and smoking the cigarettes, doing that stuff. Women copied that in the 60s and 70s because they were trying to fit in. And what's happening now, I believe, the last 15, 20 years, women have started to discover they can find their own path in the modern world that doesn't match what the men do. It's their own unique way, which is wonderful because it's what's needed. I've been lamenting how we need more feminine leadership in the world because it's what's going to save us as a culture, because the femininity is about collaboration and cooperation. It's a bringing people together energy that we men aren't haven't been that good at.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big, big piece of the puzzle. I went like slightly off topic with that, but yeah.
It's great. It's great. And I really liked how you brought out at the beginning of this piece, the difference between kind of that machismo, you know, chest beating kind of man who not necessarily respectful or treats a woman well, and masculine and masculinity. Because I agree with you. I think the masculine energy in its true and pure form is actually really beautiful and needed in the world, as is the feminine.
Yes.
And we are meant, I think, ideally, we're divinely created to complement each other, not to compete with each other. And that, I think, is where there can be some confusion too, as well as when women and men, you know, in work situations and things like that, they may be required to compete against each other. But in a loving partnership relationship, that's not going to likely create the ideal dynamic.
No. In fact, the great thing is when both partners are in the authentic nature, masculine and feminine polarity, it actually becomes an inspirational place where they almost inspire each other to be more and more of themselves. And one little caveat, by the way, when you put on the table, is just to be clear, what I've been expressing here is more of a generality where masculine lies to male and femininity lies to female. However, we both genders, and again, talking about traditional heterosexual conversation here, we are obviously talking about men and women carry both energies. And so we do move between the sides of masculine and feminine, but then what we're doing, you know, if you're being directional, getting things done, like driving a car, that's a masculine task. In corporate world, generally a lot of tasks in corporate world are masculine, but the feminine energy is needed to help for creating a safe space, to be more leaning in and listening, to creating more cooperative environments, to be a nurturing space even. And we all have that within. It's just some of us are more practiced in both, some are more practiced in one or the other. So it's just learning where you naturally reside and owning that. In relationship, though, especially when it comes to the sexual connection, the more you can create the magnetic opposition of masculine and feminine, that creates more attraction, which is what chemistry is based on. So it's good to have both of those in the relationship. In fact, relationship doesn't have both of those, tends to be kind of flatlined.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, or it turns into more of a friendship or a business type relationship rather than
absolutely
becomes more transactional rather than being something that's more inspiring and growth oriented and deeply fulfilling. It just changes the relationship. And there are those rare couples out there who are perhaps, you know, where a woman is really more comfortable residing mainly in the masculine energy and a man's more comfortable allowing that and being more in that feminine energy. And that can work as well. What can't work is both people having their foot on the gas pedal and the steering wheel at the same time, right? Because then we're going to collide. Or it's like, I like to think of dancing. I think we've talked about this before, Barry, where it's like, if both people are trying to lead the dance, you're doing some form of ballroom dancing.
Exactly.
Gonna happen. You're going to be stepping all over each other. You're going to be tripping, falling. And it's not going to be graceful or lovely or enjoyable for either person.
Yeah, that's the perfect example, the dancing thing. We did talk about this a couple of times ago about the Argentine tango. It is recognizing that there is both partners are needed for it to work well and to be authentic in that place. So yes, absolutely. And in full embodiment, as I said earlier, you know, the masculine and feminine, when they're both fully expressed, are certainly equal, just different. Mm-hmm. And it's the recognition that nobody's being weaker, nobody's losing out. We're just being our true authentic selves.
Mm-hmm. So one thing I want to say again, because I know I talk to women as you do, and I know some people feel also some resistance. Some women feel some resistance, especially if they're successful, they've worked really hard in their careers or for their independence or self-sufficiency. And they're like, well, I don't want to dumb myself down, or I don't want to intimidate a man, or I don't want to be having to be less than who I am in order for a man to like me. And I just want to be clear that that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're saying.
Right. No, it's about it's really about full expression, or I said, like, ownership. It's about really being a place where you find somebody who sees all of you and loves you for who you are fully, versus changing yourself to fit. Because if you're trying to contort yourself to fit somebody else's vision, it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. It's just not healthy. And frankly, it's almost like lying to them, because you're not being in full expression self. So owning your fullness, owning your magnificence, whether male or female, whether masculine or feminine, is what makes relationships so much fun. Mm-hmm. So why deny that? Why deny somebody?
Yeah, I think there are ways to share those aspects of yourself, accomplishments, things you're really proud of, things that you're really excited about, things that you've worked really hard for. I think there are ways to share those things without it coming across as a competitive, like, one-upmanship kind of thing.
Right.
That happens sometimes on dates. You know, a man or a woman is trying to impress each other. So maybe the man's bragging on about his accomplishments, and the woman says, well, yeah, I did such and such and such. And it kind of becomes kind of like, I can top that kind of conversation, right?
It can. I mean, so much of this ties into that history and that childhood as well. We're not going to go at that point unless we need to. But a lot of it also is recognitions that both male and female like to be praised, like to be a witness for when we do great things. Because for most of us, we're so easily on top of ourselves when we don't do things well. It's nice to actually own the badge of honor of, like, I did this right. Something like getting kudos from your partner is actually a good thing. But as long as there's an understanding between the two partners of what's being asked for and what's being delivered. Because it is sometimes, especially on a first date, it's dangerous territory when you start bragging about yourself. It's much healthier on a first date, just a sidebar to that, to be the person who asks the questions, to inquire and get to the person to share, because it's much more intimate, much more opening that way. If you're just going to spend the whole conversation just lecturing your partner on how great things you did, you may not expect a second date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think there are ways to share. You do want it to be a conversation. You also don't want it to sound like an interview, right? Where you're asking the questions like, okay, now let's see. I get some kind of job interview. The interrogation lights are on, brightly shining over his head. You don't want that kind of vibe either. But I think I'll just give you a quick example of kind of where I'm trying to go with this. I can remember one of my clients a while back telling me how she'd been on this date with this man, and he was talking about several trips he'd been on. And these were international trips, and he was pretty excited about it because it was his first real foray into international travel. And then she had been to like 45 countries or something like that. And so then she said something like, well, that's really great. I've been to 45 countries. So this was kind of like a one-upmanship. He was all excited of his first overseas. Yeah. She's like, I've been to 45 countries. So we talked to she, and, you know, it kind of shut him down. So we were talking about this. He wasn't so excited about talking about his trip now. And we were talking about this. And I said, you know, here's just something to dance with, like, for the future. You could say something like, that's so amazing that you've been able to go on these trips, you know, acknowledge him and maybe ask a follow up, you know, what did you enjoy the most about it, or what was most fascinating? And then if you want to share, you could share something instead of saying, well, I've been to 45 countries right then. That might not be the ideal time to say that. You could just say, in my international travel, some of the things I've loved the most are seeing other people and cultures, tasting the amazing mm-hmm. food, maybe even share a story about something you experienced in one of these countries, where that's kind of like coming from the heart, but in a way where you're going to connect, and it's not going to be this, oh, well, I went to 45 countries. Glad you finally got out of the country. That's not how she intended it, but that's probably how
she I totally agree with you. That's a great point. And And another point possibly could be, is like, you know, when he shares with her, he's got five countries he's been to, she can ask him, which ones have you been to? Because I've been to a couple myself. I'm not saying a lot, but saying I've been to a few myself. I wonder where you went, because maybe we went to the same place and we can share some common notes. It can be fun that way. It is definitely when you start to put, and it is, I think it's about when you start putting numbers on things, it gets to be very comparative, and it's not a good, no, that's.
Right. So if you can think in terms of connection instead of competition, what's going to create connection or what's likely to create connection. And a lot of that can come from sharing things more from a heart center place than just a factual center place. And like you said, the numbers, the 45, blah, 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 because that's, you know, comparative.
Yeah.
We get into the math there and that doesn't always work so well.
Right.
So Barry, I know one of the things that you talk about sometimes, and this is something that's on the mind, I'm going to shift gears here just a little bit.
Okay.
This is on the mind of some of the women listening, I know, and many women feel like it's really challenging or hard to find a good man out there, right?
Yep, so, absolutely.
You know, we're having these conversations and talking about dynamics between men and women, and I know there's some women sitting here going, well, I'd just like to meet a man to be able to even talk some of this. So I'm doing a little rewind, and I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. In fact, I was just talking to somebody earlier about this, that every one of us is unique and different. And there's so many people on the planet, you know, the odds of meeting somebody are quite high, actually. So if you keep saying there's nobody good men out there, well, you can start creating a reality from what you say, or you can say, I wonder who I'm going to meet that's going to be wonderful. Making the questions positive and directional. Secondly, as you introduced me, it's like, you know, help women move from heartbreak to grace and wholeness, is if you're looking to find somebody to cover up to be a band-aid from your past relationship, that's a bad approach too. Mm-hmm. You want to do the work to heal that piece as well. The other part is, and this is a lot of work I've been doing for the last few years more overtly than it was before, isn't it? Before more covertly, is really build up your self-support system, your own batteries, your love and light for yourself, so that when you do go on dates, you're able to contribute and add to the conversation versus trying to get something from them. And so that you know, meeting with somebody is a chance to enjoy and inspire and actually lift with each other, because you're going to meet somebody who's of a higher caliber, so to speak, when you're already owning yourself and feeling a higher caliber yourself. And so really it's the inner work that creates the world around you, so to speak. You know, it's like the as one of my teachers put it, like your outer experience is a reflection of inner reality. So the work you're doing here is going to reflect out there. If you're not meeting any great men, what are you telling yourself? What are you believing inside that's maybe in the way of that? Because I know there are great men out there, same as there are great women out there. Question is, what are you telling yourself about what's happening out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I just around this, I think it's so powerful. I think our words and our thoughts are very powerful. I think we're actually in the creative process, beginning to create a reality by our thoughts and by our words when we allow them to persist. I mean, you think about anything significant that you've achieved in your life, you've probably created it in your mind and in your heart before you created it as a reality in your life. And I have a client that I'm working with right now. And when we first started working together, she was just of this mindset of the scarcity. There's no good men anywhere near me, blah, 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 blah. And in our work together, we've worked to help her to shift that until she's come to believe that there's a whole new world of possibility out there. Just because you can't see it in the moment with your eyes doesn't mean it's not there. And very lo and behold, if she hasn't had her financial advisor now introduce her to a man who only lived a few blocks away from her, and they're now exploring a fantastic relationship. Right. And this is like, I really believe had she not been able to shift that.
Right.
First of all, she wouldn't even have been in the place where she asked her financial advisor if he knew anyone that he might be willing to introduce her to. She wouldn't have been doing that because she would have had there's no one around here. There's no one that's going to be interested or that I'm going to be interested in anywhere around me. And she wouldn't have likely met him. So it was like that one shift in her mind and in her belief system opened up this whole new world of possibility. And when I last saw her on our call, you know, there was just on our Zoom call, she just had a brightness in her face. Her hair was done really, really nice. You know, it's like everything was up leveling for her because of what's going on inside.
Exactly. That's the key.
Mm-hmm. And so I just think this is more powerful than we sometimes realize.
Oh, it is the lesson I've had to keep learning too. I mean, and it's not just about relationships, it's every part of life, is that what we tell ourselves tends to manifest outside. So if we don't believe we deserve or are equivalent to or can have those things, you know, it's like when women say there are no good men out there, they experience no good men out there because they're telling themselves that. So to change the what you're telling yourself and the wording you use, and definitely don't ask why questions, because those suck. It's like, why aren't there any good men? It's like, no. The question you want to ask is something the other way around. It's like, how can I meet great men, for example? Mm-hmm. Is change the question you ask yourself, make declarations. Because sometimes people say, well, I doing affirmations, but they don't work, whatever. Well, how long have you done them for? How impassioned are you when you do them? Those sort of things. But one of the things I've found that works even better is actually ask yourself questions that open up to possibility. So you ask yourself positive questions versus trying to explain why things don't work. Because why do you want to explain what doesn't work? It doesn't help you with anything. Mm-hmm. So ask yourself questions about what can work and be open to that. And then because you're asking a question that doesn't get answered right away, which is the key, is you're letting the world around you, letting your subconscious mind start searching for the answer for you. And because mm-hmm. it's a very obedient subconscious, if you say, you know, how can I meet some great men? You'll start getting ideas popping up about how to do that. So mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. What you tell ourselves is vital.
Yeah. And I do think the kinds of questions we ask ourselves is vital too.
Yeah.
Because I do think our minds are incredibly powerful, not just in terms of the thoughts that we think, but that, you know, planting that seed of a creative question, our mind, even on the subconscious, can begin to work on something.
Yeah.
Like when my client shifted her thoughts from there's no good men around here to what if I could actually meet someone? And what if there were actually someone around here? What would I do? Well, I might ask other people if they know of anyone that they could introduce me to, right? It's like that was just, you know, born out of her asking different and deep kinds of questions, more empowering questions.
Yeah.
So I think that's really great. What are some of the things, what are one or two of the things that we may not have talked about yet, Barry? I want to give you a chance to answer an open-ended question here on this, that you see that really, since we're speaking mainly to women, that really gets in the way, besides the inner work or the mind chatter beliefs, anything else you see that really gets in the way that we haven't talked about?
There's a romantic trope that somehow when you find your partner, you'll be complete, you'll be whole. You know, the Jerry Maguire thing about you complete me.
Yeah, you complete me, the famous line from Jerry Maguire.
which sounds so romantic, but it's a trap. It's like, run away.
Right.
So the thing about it is for the ladies, I mean, it's true for the men too, but definitely for the ladies, is if you're looking to have a man show up in your life to make your life feel better or to make your life complete or to fix something you think is broken, it's an errant approach. Because what I want to remind those watching and for all the women I work with as well, is you are whole, you are complete, you are amazing. And when you start to realize that you're absolutely whole and independent, you don't need anybody to make you feel better, then you have a relationship that adds to that, makes you actually feel even better, even though it's not meant to be that. The way I've talked to one of my clients is almost like we run around with our batteries half depleted, thinking we're going to find somebody else going to make us feel whole again, recharge your batteries. Like in relationships, sometimes it's useful to have somebody step in to help you. But the reality is when you're on your own, you want to make sure you know how to fill up your own batteries to be fully self-sufficient. So when you meet somebody, you're not dragging from them. In fact, you're adding so they become very happy to be around you. And ideally, you meet somebody who's the same thing so that way when the two of you are together, it's all additive, which is actually the healthiest way to be in a relationship. So to really get clear about what it is you may be telling yourself that you're not feeling complete or that you're only, like you want a 50-50 relationship, which is like the biggest crock I know of, which is nobody's 50% of anybody. We're all whole people. So can a relationship be half and half? It's no, it's whole and whole. It's 50%, it's 100%, 100%. So own your part of the relationship, own your part being single to attract a relationship that is complete.
Yeah. And if you're really in that place where you have a rich, satisfying life and you're feeling, you know, good, it doesn't mean everything has to be perfect, but you're feeling good about who you are and the direction you're heading in your life, then meeting and attracting someone that you would love to be with is more like the icing on the cake. It's not the cake itself, right?
Right.
And the problem is if you're attracting someone from that, like you said, you know, half charge battery, you're also likely going to attract someone with a half charge battery who's wanting to get their other half filled up too. So then you got,
that doesn't
you
work.
Got two half charge batteries, and they're both trying to suck energy from each other, and ooh, yikes. That's not going to
work. Well, yeah. And in fact, the two extra things to say on that is when you do fill up your own batteries first, and you're doing what you love, and you are fulfilling your fulfilled life, you become more attractive because you're radiant, you're abundant in energy, so it becomes more attractive. It also makes you more discerning, by the way, so you're not attracted to everything, just to what you really want. And then when you meet somebody, it's actually more of the, again, like equality, like I said, if you're a 50% and you draw somebody at 50%, nobody's winning that one. But if you're fully fulfilled and enjoying and embracing your whole life, you meet somebody else, they're doing the same thing, then the relationship is just continually contribution towards each other versus pulling from each other. And yes, life does throw curveballs and stuff happen sometimes where you may feel depleted, but because you've been whole before, you know how to get back there, and your partner will help you get back there because they're already whole as well. And that's what I think a fulfilling and whole relationship should be about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think for women who are listening, if you're feeling like, oh boy, I'm not sure, my battery might be a little bit half empty, I may be kind of in that depleted state. Some of that often happens from operating so much in the masculine energy.
Yes.
And a certain amount of that, for women, I know it is. And a certain amount of that may have been necessary because you may not have had the option to rely upon someone else if you've been by yourself. So we have to look for ways to support our feminine energy, you know, deeper levels of self-care, doing things that bring us joy, connecting with people that, you know, that bring us up, that mm-hmm. those passions, those interests, those things that make us happy, and maybe some downtime, maybe some relaxation, maybe a vacation, maybe a massage, whatever it is. I like for women to ask the question, what have I done for no other reason than just for the sheer joy of it? No, seriously, Barry, because you know what? How often do we do that? We can get structured and focused on tasks, some important and not so much. But like, I know for myself, sometimes I can get this way where it's like I have to almost schedule in time for fun or relaxation or just doing something just for the sheer joy of it.
In fact, that's one of the things I recommend to my clients is to actually put yourself on your own calendar, mm-hmm. because it's true. It's like that becomes the last thing you get around to. If you have time, you're so busy doing for other people or for the life. So doing things. And I mean, I recommend, you know, like you said, self-nurturing things like bubble baths, going to the spa, hanging out with your sisters, creating good sister friendships with other women, mm-hmm. will nurture you back in your feminine, and they recharge your batteries. Because the thing is, if you don't do those things, then you're going to start putting that weight on a possible date, which is not going to be healthy either. So for women, especially, to really restore your own fully charged experience, so to speak, comes from the place of really taking care of yourself. And one of the things that women have been really, unfortunately, gotten bad at the last several years is doing stuff like men do so many times, and they get burnt out and they're not taking care of themselves. So self-nurturing activities that, yes, must be on your calendar every day, not just once a week, mm-hmm. are vital for your own self-support, self-esteem, and self-love. So yes, guaranteed, do that. And your life will change.
Mm-hmm. And one other radical idea I want to throw out there that goes along with this conversation, because I love to hear your feedback on this too, Barry. So another thing that I find that works sometimes for me and for my clients is if things are feeling like a struggle, you know, if dating's feeling like a struggle or life is feeling like a struggle or whatever, you know, we can't always control or manage some of those challenges. And yet sometimes, again, asking a different question or looking at it from a different angle could be helpful. So what I do, for example, if I'm finding myself overwhelmed by a task or overwhelmed by something, and this can work in different areas of life, mm-hmm. I'll ask myself, what would it look like for me to try easier?
I like that.
Because sometimes we're like, I got to try harder. I got to drive myself harder. I got to push mm-hmm. myself harder, you know, in so many areas of life. And so like, I'm like, what would it look like to try easier? So then that's another creative question where my mind can come up with ideas in terms of how could I do this in a way that feels easier, more natural, more comfortable, more graceful, more fun for me?
Yeah, what if it could be graceful? What if it could be easy? What if life could be a fun ride?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Smart. That's the thing. Those questions are so powerful because they put you in the mind space to allow a positive answer. And then you find out what it can be. So it's, yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to start things up.
Yeah, because if things are feeling like a struggle and you're just striving and it's depleting you and it's making you, you know, like dread it, like dating shouldn't feel like that. Love, dating, and relationships are supposed to be somewhat fun, right?
Yeah. Supposed to be. Sometimes.
And so it's like, if I talk to someone and they're like, I hate online dating, or I hate this, or whatever, that's not going to be an energy that's going to likely be very effective. And so it's like asking these creative questions.
Absolutely.
What would easier look like? What would more fun look like? What would doing something with joy look like for you? Whatever that is, exploring some of that can perhaps give some inspiration and a path forward if you're feeling stuck.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Perfect solution. Yeah, that is the way to do it.
Yeah, because life brings us enough things we don't really have to add to our own, stack more on our own plates in terms of mm-hmm. challenges and making things harder, right?
It's true, yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, for me, that's the biggest lesson, is to learn that life can be actually easier, not hard, doesn't be harder. And because also, again, as you said earlier about how women were competing with the men in the marketplace, men kept doing things the hard way because that's the way men think. Women copied that. It's like, you don't have to. You can actually have more joy, more flow, more grace when you simply find an easier way. Or I should say, when you ask for an easier way, because you're simply saying, there is an easy way. What is it? Show me. And then you get the result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for those of you listening that might feel like things feel a little out of balance in one way or another, these are just some things to experiment with. And I know Barry, if we didn't mention this earlier, but I know Barry knows how to make a mean loaf of sourdough bread. I've seen the pictures on Facebook.
Well, that's thanks. That was the lockdown requirement, wasn't it? When the whole thing was, you know, sure, you had to learn to make sourdough. That was what I thought was the rules.
You did? I didn't pick that skill up during COVID, but I have seen your pictures and it looks wonderful. It looks amazing.
It's been an interesting hobby to experiment with, you know, and mm-hmm. I got carried away with it. The only thing I'm making now, to be honest, is sourdough chocolate chip cookies. That's become my new thing, which is even better.
There you go. So good for a man to kind of tap into some of these things too, right?
Experiment. I don't think the cookie is necessarily a feminine thing. So
no.
Why not?
No, in fact, many of the best cooks or chefs out there are men, for sure. And yeah. Chocolate chip cookies, I'm all in on that. That sounds great.
I love it.
So, Barry, this has been a really fun conversation, and I know you have a free gift to tell us about, and so I want to mm-hmm. give you an opportunity to do that, and then also just any last closing thoughts or last words you'd like to leave, that would be great too.
You don't quite
need
a
to
lot.
Sound like last words, like this is the last time we'll ever talk. I just mean concluding words.
I understand. So the free gift I have is something I've been offering for a while now, which I love, is, as I've talked quite a lot about self-love in my work and about how you're going to really build up your own batteries, as I spoke of. And so I have a self-love guided meditation book, or a workbook rather, that basically puts you in a place where you can do an AM and PM meditation that really recharges your batteries. I have an audio version of that, which is a guided meditation, but I'm giving out the physical book, or I should say the PDF, to give you the steps to go through, because you can do it yourself. And it's simply a 5-minute practice in the morning, 5-minute practice in the evening. You do for 30 days straight, because I'm passionate about creating new habits, and self-love is a habit you can practice. And so it takes about 21, 25 days to change a habit. So I figured go 30 days would be good. And it's a free gift from me to you. And it's something you can practice as a self-support battery charging method. It's not hard to do, easy to do, and just practice it, it'll work great wonders. And I know you put the link in afterwards as well. In terms of last thoughts, last ideas, well, on that same note, is really when you get to a place of loving yourself first, to then be loved by somebody else, is the most authentic and effective approach, even though we weren't trained that way. As you said at the beginning about looking for love out there first to fill ourselves up, is really backwards. And when you love it, when you're filling your own batteries first, you love yourself first. Firstly, you may not need somebody else to make yourself feel whole, which is good. And secondly, when you meet somebody else, they don't have to work so hard to love you, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that. And also for the conversation. It's always so much fun to connect with you and
likewise,
and to dance with you in these conversations. And hopefully we've put a few things out there that will be valuable to our listeners. And for those watching or listening, Barry's link to the gift will be right below the audio or video that you're listening from. So be sure to pick that up so that you can stay connected with him. I know he's prolific about putting out content and videos and puts out some really good things to support you. So be sure to click on that so you can stay connected with him. And Barry, thanks again for your contribution. I really appreciate it. It's really, really much appreciated, the friendship and the partnership we've had over the years, and appreciate you supporting and coming back to my events.
I'm receiving an email is always like a treat. So like we get to do this again. So thank you again for inviting me back. I love the way, in fact, we can deepen this conversation and we can inspire people, women and men. And I love just the chance to dance in this conversation. So thank you again.
Yeah, my pleasure. And thank you also to all of you who are watching or listening. We really appreciate your time and attention and your commitment to yourself to grow and to learn and to have extraordinary relationships, because there are a few things in life that can be more satisfying. So, but Barry and I are both thanking you and sending you lots of love and blessings. And we hope to see you for more of the Man Panel. Bye-bye for now.